A couple days before I left for Thailand, I went for coffee with Jason Cornelius, who had been with me in Bangladesh back in April. He would teach the morning sessions and I teach the afternoon sessions. And we were talking a little bit about my upcoming trip. And one of the things that he said to me really, really disturbed me. He said, I hope you're not flying with Air Canada. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, have you been paying attention? And I said, no, I don't know what's going on. He said, well, I just flew to Ottawa from Vancouver with Air Canada and began to tell me some horrific stories. He said, they're threatening to go on strike and they keep canceling flights. And the more he talked, the more my stress levels start to go up. And I thought, okay, like all my flights to Thailand are with Air Canada and all my flights home are with Air Canada. And I just need to pray. And so I smiled and said, well, I'll just pray that God will take care of it. And so I kind of just left it in God's hands. And we got to the airport on the Sunday, July 9th. And as soon as we got there, I went to our gate and I looked up at the board and it said delayed. And I went, oh no. And so I said to Ainsley, I said, our flight's been delayed. And then we came back to check on it again, and it was delayed again. And I can't remember, actually, because I had so many flights over this trip that were delayed or postponed by hours upon hours. But the flight just kept getting delayed, and the more it got delayed, the more stressful I was getting, because I knew that I had a very short connection. I would be going to Toronto, and that we would have to take a flight from Toronto to the UK. And if I missed that flight, what was that going to do? And I began to notice something about myself in stressful situations. I don't know if you ever just kind of step back in your life and look at how you respond to the difficult moments. But I have two primary responses. The first is to complain. How many are with me on that? You just like, things are going bad and you just want to complain. And I wanted to complain. I wanted to let the lady behind the Air Canada counter know my frustrations. We knew that we were going to be landing in London for a 9-hour layover, and we were going to go downtown on the tube, and I was looking forward to this. Ainsley had never been. I was excited, and I was starting to think this wasn't going to happen, and we were just going to have this terrible flight. I want to complain, but two ladies got in front of me, and they complained, so I thought, well, I can't use that option. And they complain very, very well. The second thing that I do when I'm in stressful or difficult situations is I strategize. And this is probably the primary go-to when it comes to the difficult moments. I start to think to myself, okay, what's the plan? If things go bad, what's the plan? If we get to Toronto and we have missed our flight, what am I going to do? If we don't get to the UK, what am I going to do? What happens if it messes up my entire Bangkok flight? And I start to think through situations. I start to think through the worst case scenarios and try to figure out how I can control the difficult moment. For most things in my life, complaining or strategizing make me feel good, but they don't necessarily change the situation. In fact, they're not really the best responses to the difficulties of life. And for you and I, we know that life is full of ridiculous moments that are beyond our control. And while we may go to the complaining or trying to take control of things, there's a better response. And I want to show you the better response this morning as we conclude the series, the camp meeting, and we look at this message called Just Shout. And it's found in Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, you can see on the screen, or if you're watching online, you'll be able to see on the screen in front of you. It says this: Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up and everyone straight in. Jericho is the roadblock for the people of God to get to the place that God wants to take them, the promised land. And this city is a prominent city. It is the most powerful city in Canaan. This is the city that needs to come down. This is the stronghold that needs to be demolished. This is the thing standing in their way, this powerful city that needs to be dealt with. It represents a problem beyond their skill set and beyond their control. And as they look at the possibility of the city, they may complain, "Oh, we've never gotten to war before. We don't know how to deal. Look at the walls. We don't know how to deal with the walls. Like, there are chariots racing on top of them. How are we going to deal with that? We don't even have great weapons with us." They could have complained. They could have tried to strategize and done something in a human realm, but God gives them another plan. God gives them another plan to take down the walls. And that plan stems from a place of faith. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days." I want to lay this out here for a second. I have heard sermons where people have spoken of the physical elements of shouting and trumpets, ram's horns, and marching, and how it caused the ground to move and the physical elements that caused this wall to come down. But I want to tell you, friends, it had nothing to do with what they did. It was a mere act of faith. This was a supernatural thing that took place by faith. But faith is not merely an internal belief. Faith gets revealed in our actions. And the action of faith that the Israelites are to do in this story is praise. They are to have a posture towards God that lifts up His name, that begins to engage the music, the instruments of worship, that begins to use their voices. And there is an element, a religious element of worship that is going to cause these walls to come down. Joshua implements praise as the means to bring victory over the walls that separate them from God's plan. And friends, I want to tell you this. I'm convinced that praise is the answer to many victories in our life. I want to tell you that I believe that some of us who are standing facing walls that seem unconquerable just simply need to begin to worship. That there needs to be something beyond what we are able to do that would cause us to begin to believe our God in such a way that we would begin to praise and we would see walls come down. And let me just give you this little insight. Your complaining is not going to help. Complaining won't bring walls down, but praise will. And I want to walk you through some principles I see this. I want to see in this passage. The first is the act of presence, the marching. In verse 9 it says, "The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard followed the ark." All this time, the trumpets were sounding. This march around the walls is not just a military march. There are soldiers who are guarding the priest on the front end, and there are soldiers on the back end who are guarding the Ark of God. And in the center of the two military components of this ensemble are priests with worship instruments in their hands, and the Ark is in the center of this procession. The Ark is in the center of this march. Every day they would march around the walls one time. And then on the seventh day, they would march six times. And as they got to the seventh time, there would be this loud shout, and the walls would come down. I want to tell you this. This act told Jericho that God was surrounding them. This act told Jericho that God would bring the victory. This act told Jericho that God was central to the story. As the enemy looked out, they didn't just see soldiers, they didn't just see priests, but they saw that which was the presence of God. They saw the Ark of God. And I want to tell you this morning, praise is always an act of God's presence. Praise is always an act of God's presence. When we begin to praise God, God's presence shows up. Sometimes we are in difficult situations. We just cross our hands and we just want to complain. That's not going to bring the presence of God. God does not inhabit the complaints of His people. He doesn't. And those of you who have the gift of complaining, you need to be delivered of that gift, because it's not going to bring God's presence. Praise brings God's presence. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, yet you are holy. You are enthroned upon the praises of God's, the praises of Israel. Friends, I want you to know that God shows up when God's people start to praise Him. God shows up when you're driving your car and you begin to praise Him. You can be in the darkest place and you begin to praise Him, and the presence of God shows up as tangible as that ark was in the middle of the ensemble. God dwells where there is praise, and God's presence pushes back the enemy. When I was in grade 2, there was this kid named Kenny who was a bully. And I remember I was walking home for lunch, and Kenny just kept on turning around, and he just kept on intimidating me. He'd just look around at me, and he'd give me like the evil eye, and he would flex his muscles, his grade 2 muscles, and he'd comb, you know, grab his beard, grade 2 beard. And like, I mean, he this kid was mean, and he just kept intimidating me. So I'd just be like walking super slow. This took place the entire walk home until Kenny pulled down the street. By this time, it had taken me like twice as long to get home. And as I was just about getting home, my dad pulls up in the car. And he's angry with me, like, why am I dawdling for lunch? It's like, Dad, I'm not dawdling, Kenny, this big bully. And my dad begins to hear the story of this enemy of mine who is intimidating me, who had been intimidating me for quite some time and intimidated every other kid because he was the class bully. And my dad goes, well, where does he live? And I said, we're down that street. So next thing I know, my dad, with this like fire coming out of his nostrils, turns the car and goes down the street. He pulls into the driveway and he jumps out just before Kenny goes into the house. And here's my dad, and I don't know how old he would have been, probably like in his late 20s. He jumps out of the car, and here's this grade 2 kid, and my dad lets Kenny know, you're not going to touch my son again. He begins to let Kenny know in no uncertain terms what will take place in his life if he continues to torment Jeff Hillier. I mean, the stuff that my dad said that time would have definitely caused the police to show up at our house or CAS or something. But my dad's presence pushed back the enemy. Because I'll tell you this, I went back to school in the afternoon. Kenny didn't even look at me. I mean, he heard the threats of my dad. He knew what my dad would do. He saw the anger in my dad. Kenny would treat me like gold for the rest of the year because the presence of my dad showed up, and that pushed back my enemy. And I want to tell you, there are situations in your life where the presence of God is needed to push back your enemy. That there are times where you begin to praise and all of a sudden your father shows up in his car and he drives back the enemy. He drives back that which has been taunting you. He drives back that which has been causing you fear and anxiety and stress. You begin to praise and the presence of God shows up and the enemy doesn't want to stick around. The presence of God shows up when we praise and the enemy is driven back. I remember a time when I was in Pembroke dealing with some leaders situation with some of our leaders, and I was praying, didn't know what to do, and God gave me the answer, and it was just like this incredible moment of insight from God. But what happened was, I get the insight, but I'm still dealing with the stress. I'm still dealing with the anxiety, because even when you get God's wisdom, you still are an emotional person. You're still dealing with things because things haven't changed. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, God, I understand, but I'm stressed. What do I do? This anxiety, this fear in my heart, and I start to praise. I start to raise my hands in my basement in Pembroke, and I began to worship God. And the more I worshiped, that something took place. It's like the enemy got driven back. Every lie that the enemy was speaking to me, everything that he was saying to me about how things weren't going to work out, all the stress started to leave, all the anxiety started to leave, because the presence of God showed up. When the enemy attacks in difficult situations, we need to praise, inviting God's presence to drive back the enemy in our lives, friends. Praise drives back the enemy. Secondly, the act of proclamation. Verse 6 says, have the priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. The ram's horns were instruments of worship. The very first time we see these ram horns being used is they're used when God descends down upon Sinai. And it's God's way of saying to the people of God, I'm about to do something. I'm about to show up on Sinai. And the ram's horns get blown and God goes, here, friends, look, I'm about to do something that doesn't normally happen. Then we see the ram's horn tied to worship, proclaiming the seventh new moon, a Sabbath moment of rest. And once again, it's God saying, I'm about to do something. I'm going to give you the peace that you need after the journey has been wearisome. And they were blown in the 49th year. Every 49 years, there would be a blowing of the ram's horns to declare that the year of Jubilee had come about. And it was that time, the year of Jubilee, people were freed from slavery. They were freed from debt. They were freed from the burdens that they had carried for 49 years. And it was a declaration that God was going to do something and bring life to the people of Israel. Trumpets proclaim that God is about to do something. Praise is not simply about what God has done. Praise is not simply about what God is going to, what God is doing, but praise is the announcement that God will do something in our lives. That God will do something even though we may not be able to see it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Do you know that what Paul's saying to the church of Ephesus is that when we show up, we should actually be singing to one another? That would be a great promo video for our church. Come to a church where people sing to you when you come in the doors. The reason why we don't sing to one another is because some of us have voices like mine, and that would actually cause people to leave the church. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to sing to one another, and the reason is that when a person comes into the church, when someone walks in, the reality is that many of us are carrying incredible burdens. Many of us have weights that nobody knows about. And we are fantastic at faking it. How's it going, brother? Oh, it's good. My life stinks, but it's good. We fake it. We tell everybody things are fine when things aren't, but the truth is we're carrying things that are overwhelming. Some of you come into worship times and it's just hard because life is difficult. Maybe you faced a challenge during the week and you just don't know what to do. What Paul says to the church of Ephesus is when you come together, there should be these singing of psalms and these hymns which are songs, spiritual songs, and then songs from the Spirit which are instantaneous songs that come about from the Holy Spirit. And these songs are supposed to be a declaration to those who are discouraged. These songs are supposed to be a declaration to those who are defeated, to those who are depressed, to those who are carrying the weight of the world. These are supposed to be declarations that God is about to do something. That while you come in and go, man, I feel defeated, someone all of a sudden sings a song and you go, oh man, God's going to do something in my life. Those songs, this instruction is not merely about the corporate gathering. It's about breathing life into one another through worship and that declares that God is still on the throne and He's doing something. He's doing something. We're going to sing the song at the end of the service. We already sang it, I Speak Jesus. It's written by a man by the name of Jesse Powers. He co-wrote it. And Jesse Powers has planted a church in Austin with his wife Janet. It is structured after Acts 2:42 model, and they're really trying to focus on relationships and the key things of faith, and they focus on the work of the Holy Spirit, and they are believing that the church that they've planted will be a conduit through which God can do the supernatural. And the church is focused on living like that early church, and they're believing for the supernatural. He was interviewed about the song that he had written. And as he was asked about the meaning and why the song was written, he began to talk about the song. And he pointed to the early part of Acts where Peter and John are on their way to the temple. And there's this man who is lame at Solomon's colonnade. And here he is outside of church. And for this man, his takeaway from church was money. That if he could just be placed there, people would give him money. They'd give him money, and that would just help him through the day. Just one more meal, just one more piece of clothing. It was just enough to carry him through the day. But what Jesse says is that John and Peter come along, And they offer him something beyond just money. They say, hey, we want to speak life into you about what God's going to do. And so we declare in the name of Jesus. And in that moment of declaration, they declare that Jesus was about to do something. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he said that his desire is that when people would sing this song, as they would begin to praise with this song, that they would begin to believe that God was about to do something. That God was about to do something. This song is meant to proclaim what God can do. You see, praise becomes the proclamation of what God will do. It's not a name it and claim it thing. It's not like God is going to do this and God's going to do this. But it's a declaration that I know that God is going to step into my situation. I know that God's going to step in. I don't know how necessarily, but I know that he's a good God. I know that he's a God who doesn't fail. I know he's a God who loves me. And no matter how it looks, I just know that God is about to do something. We praise believing God's going to do something. You know the famous story of David and Goliath. I love that story. Here's this young man and this giant who the most brave man in Israel is not willing to take on. And Saul's trying to put his armor on him, and that doesn't work out because he's just swimming in this extra large clothing. And so he gets rid of all the armor, and now he's just got a slingshot. And he's standing at the edge of the valley where Goliath is, and the armies of Israel are behind him, and the armies of the Philistines are behind Goliath, and they're looking at the situation. It looks ridiculous. There's this massive giant and this little teenage kid, and David starts to proclaim some things that what he's going to do. He's going to take down this giant. He's going to defeat him. He starts to proclaim these things, but then he says something which sounds like he's speaking to Goliath, but it's actually a shift in his language, and he moves to praise, and it's found in verse 47 of 1 Samuel 17. It says, "All those who are gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." The battle is the Lord's. He's not even speaking to Goliath. He's starting to praise. The battle is God's. The battle belongs to him. I just declare that God is going to do something in this moment because I know this battle belongs to him. And Israel had been taught it for so long, but David lifts up a praise that the battle belongs to God. Friends, listen to me. Some of you need to start to look at your situations and declare God's about to do something. You need to start to praise, believing that God's about to do something, declaring that God is still able. It's an act of declaration. And lastly, praise is the act of faith, the shout. Verse 5 says, "When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in." Timing is everything. Timing is everything. God says, shout, and then the walls will come down. And then the walls will come down. That's not the way I want God to work. That's not the way I want him to work. I want God to bring the walls down so I can shout. I want God to provide the money so I can shout. I want God to provide the miracle so I can shout. I want God to provide the restored relationship so I can shout. I want God to provide the healing so I can shout. But God says, no, you shout, and then the walls will come down. You praise, and then the miracle will take place. You lift me up, and then you'll see what I will do. It's an act of faith. You see, the shout is two components. It's both jubilation and war cry. The shout in those days was both jubilation and war cry. The jubilation to Israel was, we are going to get the victory. When they cried, this was like them declaring, the victory is ours. And it was to get them jubilant about this moment. But it was also a war cry. It was a war cry to Jericho, and it was to say, the victory is ours. It's the same statement, but it's both a jubilant moment for the people of Israel and a war cry to the enemy. The victory is ours. The shout is a praise element, one meant to audibly release the joy and confidence in God's work before he even brings about the victory. Too often we're tempted to only praise God when the work is done. Too often we hold back our praise until He solves the problem. Too often we think that God is only worthy of praise once He shows up. But praise is an act of faith, speaking of God's future acts despite not seeing them. Praise should not be transactional. It shouldn't be, God, you do this, then I will praise. There shouldn't be this exchange, God, you give me the miracle, but I'll give you my praise. No, it should be, God, I'm giving you my praise because I believe you're going to give me the miracle. Psalm 34, verses 1 and 2 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. And then he says this, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. You ever seen an afflicted person rejoicing? You ever see someone suffering rejoicing? You ever see someone down in the dumps rejoicing? How is that possible? It's because they begin to praise God for who He is. They begin to praise God for what He'll do. They're suffering still, but they're praising God. They're shouting to God because they believe that He's a God who cares and He will take care of them. David says, praise for all seasons, praise in the good, praise in the bad, praise in the pre-victory, praise in the post-victory, praise in the defeat. Praise is meant for times of affliction when circumstances don't speak of victory. And when we have true faith, we can be in the depths of hell and praise Him because we are completely confident in Him. Praise is not just a response for what God has done. Praise is a response for who God is and what He'll do. So friends, before the cure, I praise Him. Before the finances show up, I praise Him. Before the relationship is restored, I praise Him. Before the solution is solved or is given, I praise Him. Before the walls come down, I praise Him. So you see, sometimes you just got to shout as an act of faith. Sometimes you just need to shout and praise God before you ever get your response, because He is an amazing God who we have confidence in. Praise is an act of faith. There's a story I read this week. There's this church in an old, sophisticated, conservative, quiet community. And one Sunday, the church had gathered and the preacher started preaching, but there was this guest who had come into the church, a visitor in the community, was not a regular part of the community and didn't really understand the culture or the dynamics of the community or this church. And so the pastor was preaching, and every so often the pastor would say something that would stir this man, and he would yell out, Amen! Praise the Lord! And people would just look around at him. And they begin to stare at him because this didn't take place in their church. And the first time it happened, the pastor just kind of stood there and, what do I do? Someone just responded to my message. There was a pause and people staring at him and the guy's just standing there smiling like, yes. Pastor keeps preaching and the guy keeps yelling out, Amen! Praise the Lord! And the preacher's starting to get excited because someone's actually responding to the message. But every time this man does this, people keep turning around and looking at him. This goes on for quite some time until finally the person behind him couldn't handle it anymore. The person leaned over and tapped him on the shoulder after the last Amen, praise the Lord, and tapped him on the shoulder and said, please stop with the Amen, praise the Lord. We don't do that in this church. We don't do that in this church. You see, there's always going to be people, there's always going to be voices telling you it's not appropriate to praise. There's always going to be people saying it's better to complain. There's always going to be people say you need to figure it out, you need to strategize. But friends, I want to tell you that your best response in the stressful moments, your best response in the difficult moments, your best response, regardless of who says it's appropriate or not, is to praise the King of Kings. For somebody just to give a shout. You see, there are times in our life when all hell is breaking loose and we need to blow the ram's horn. We need to march with the presence of God, and somebody just needs to shout. Somebody just needs to shout. It's the most appropriate response. I want you to stand with me this morning, and we're going to begin to sing this song, I Speak Jesus. And friends, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're carrying, but I want to tell you about the God I serve. He's still a God who takes down the walls of Jericho. He's still a God who heals the blind. He's still a God who cures cancer. He's still a God who restores relationship. He's still a God who does the miraculous. And there may be moments of disappointment. There may be moments of failure. There may be moments where you just don't know. But friends, He is worth praising. He's worth praising. He's worth praising because He's still able. But I want you to start to declare Jesus over some situations. I want you to praise before the miracle happens. I want you to praise Him because He is a God who's faithful. My friend Diaz just came and gave a word which I think is really good. It's some of you, you're unable to get forward. You're able to get to where God wants you because your failures keep rising up. You keep remembering the times you failed God, and your failures pushing you back from the victory. And friends, it's time to let go of those failures. You are redeemed. You are covered. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that failure is the past. It's time to move forward. And so I want you to speak Jesus over your failures. I want you to speak Jesus over your defeats. I want you to move forward to see the walls come down. But let me pray over you as we leave this place, believing that God is about to do something. We lift up our praises. Jesus, thank you so much for this day, being able to come together with my brothers and sisters and lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, I pray that when we leave this place, praise would keep on our lips. I pray that in the good times and the bad times, praise would be on our lips. When we are experiencing victory or in defeat, praise would be on our lips. That God, before the walls come down, we will choose to praise. That God, it would be an act of faith. And we would not complain. We would not just strategize in our own skill. But we will offer up our praises to you, believing that you are about to act. You are a good God, and we love you. So be with this congregation now as they leave this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.